Well, let's turn now to John chapter 12. We'll turn to verse 27. John 12, 27, although we're going to be looking a little bit in just the previous section as well today, as we are in this kind of hinge chapter in the Gospel of John, as we're moving from one section where Jesus was doing a lot of miracles or signs into Jesus' really his final hours as he prepares his disciples for that and then his crucifixion and resurrection. John 12, 27 through 36. This is the word of God. Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would grant us eyes to see the light, even as we engage with your word, which brings light, which reveals the truth about you and us and Jesus and what this world is all about. We pray for understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably one of the more famous, I guess, recent Disney films is The Lion King. And the main character's name is Simba. Do I have that right? It's been a while since I watched it. Simba, right? He's the main character. Maybe you'd also say that his father, the king, is also one of the main characters. And it's really the movie, in a sense, is about both of them. The movie's about the father, the Lion King, who was king and then dies, and then his son, and his son, is he going to be like his father? There's other themes in there and so on. But they are the central characters. And all of the other characters in this drama are not central. They're supporting. They're a part of it, but they're not in the middle. They're not at the center. And it was years ago now, before Amelia, our first daughter, 7 years old now, before she was born, Dorothy and I went with my sister and her two children to New York City. We went to Manhattan. We went to see a play on Broadway. And what did we see? We saw The Lion King. The Lion King was an absolutely amazing play. I've never seen a play like it. What they can do, it's absolutely wonderful. And just imagine, though, you're watching the play, Simba comes out, he's singing some song, you know, you're probably hearing a song right now in your head. Stop, okay, pay attention, just kidding. But then all of a sudden, Simba's doing his thing, and one of, like, the very minor characters, one of the dancers, comes up and grabs the mic, so to speak, and pushes Simba out of the way and starts, like, doing a little dance and stuff, and wants everybody to pay attention to him or her, right? And people start to kind of move around, like, what's going on, you know? Maybe some people start laughing. They think, oh, this is like a little something different for us today. But then they see Simba walk over and, like, take the mic back and say, go over there, what are you doing? It's very embarrassing for Simba. And then he goes, "And it'll just be great to be king." You know, the music goes back on, and everyone's like, okay, good, we're back on track, I guess. And the person comes back, takes the mic. No, no, this is about me, right? Minor character comes back on, and people start leaving after a while. It's just getting out of control, right? It gets so bad that they have to call the police to have this actor taken out. And then they can start the play again. Could you imagine? That's what the drama we're like is like. There is a central character in this drama that we call life. And the central character is the triune God. He is the king. It is about him. It is about what he is up to. It is about the knowledge of him going out to the nations to bless the nations so that eventually the whole world is characterized by the knowledge of himself. But side characters, the Bible calls them creatures made in God's image who rebel against him. Sinners come and keep grabbing the mic, pushing him out of the way, trying to make God maybe not be in the play at all, to get rid of him out of the drama entirely, or at the very least to make him a side character who serves me as the central character, who serves humanity as the central characters in the drama. So what is life about? Is life about us, or is it about him? Is life about us getting to do what we want in the drama, or is it about him getting to do what he wants in the drama? Is life about the glory of God or the glory of man? I think you know what the answer is. But what I want to show you is that that answer is coming from God's revelation, the Word of God. I want to show you that that is what we are learning from Jesus himself. So let's see it. Now, we started in verse 27 where Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled." But let's just go back a bit, because previous to that, Jesus had arrived in Jerusalem. People hailed him as the King of Israel. And then some Greeks, now the word Greek doesn't mean they necessarily were from Greece. This is a term that would be used for anybody who wasn't Jewish. And they want to see Jesus. And instead of Jesus saying, "Great, let's talk," he says something jarring about his hour having come. But what I want to point out here is that not just Jewish people, but now Gentiles. There is a sense in which you see that all people are coming to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Now is my hour." Well, what is your hour? What is Jesus' hour? Well, it's troubling. That's what we know. In verse 27, knowing that it's his hour, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled." He's deeply troubled in his soul. Anxiety, fear, trepidation, sadness, all of that going on inside of him. "Now is my soul troubled." This hour is troubling for him. And he says, "And what shall I say, Father, save me? No, I came to this hour for what is going to trouble me." And then he says this in verse 28, "Father, glorify your name." So whatever it is that is troubling Jesus about this hour is nevertheless going to be an hour in which God's name is glorified. And we've talked about this before in John, that often, not always, but often in the Gospel of John, when we hear that God is going to be glorified, it means that God is going to be made known. He's going to reveal something about himself. We all know what that's like. In a relationship, you get to know people, the first thing you say, "What's your name?" It's just a small thing, right? "Oh, my name is this." Later on, though, you might reveal more of yourself. You might say, "Well, my name is Timothy John because my parents, da-da-da-da," and I reveal more of my story, more of myself. The deeper you enter into a relationship, more is revealed. So something is going to be revealed about God that is yet going to cause Jesus suffering in this hour. My big point here, though, is this. God is going to be glorified in this hour. He is going to be made known. God is central. He is the reason why everything exists. He made it so that He might be made known in all of His glory. And that is a good thing because He is God. There is no one above Him. And He is the one we should want to know. Now, all of this prayer is taking place between Jesus and the Father. Jesus speaking to Him. The Father speaking, clearly speaking. Jesus hears Him. But what happens in the crowd? Says in verse 29, the crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Did it thunder? No, it didn't thunder. Now, some people hear it and they don't comprehend it. There is a revelation of God about God seeking to glorify Himself through Jesus, God making Himself known, and people don't understand it. They think it was just thunder. That's their maybe more naturalistic answer. Other people have a more supernaturalistic answer. No. That was an angel. An angel must have spoken. But the point here is this, that the people who are hearing it are not comprehending it. They're not understanding this voice of God. God is clearly speaking. God is making Himself known. He wants to make Himself known in the hour of Jesus' suffering. But they are not comprehending. And this is just a picture of the much larger principle that humanity, although God clearly makes Himself known in creation, although God clearly makes Himself known in your souls, that He does exist, that He's worthy of glory, that you are responsible to live your life for Him, because we have rebelled against Him and we want to be center stage, we say, did it thunder? Oh, wait, I think that was an angel speaking. We turn the voice of God into natural phenomena only. We turn the voice of God into religions of our own liking. But the true voice of God, the voice that wants to make His glory known through the crucifixion of His Son and His resurrection, we say, oh, what was that? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. But why does that happen? I'm not going to say that understanding what's happening in Jesus dying, a perfect man being crucified as a criminal, how that makes God. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to understand, but I'm telling you why we don't want to understand it. Because Jesus tells us why human beings who are in rebellion against God don't want to understand it. In John 3, He says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. People in rebellion against God cannot understand His revelation because we do not want to understand His revelation, and because are not wanting to understand His revelation, are not wanting life to be about His glory, has actually corrupted us so that you find Jesus approaching deaf people and blind people in the gospel, people who cannot comprehend, cannot hear, cannot see, because our own sin has so affected us, has so disabled us. And so you've got the nations coming to Jesus, while at the same time you have His own nation saying they don't understand Jesus. And in the midst of that, Jesus says, now is the hour. And what is that hour? he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Now do you see it? This hour is going to manifest God's glory in a multitudinous way, in a many-faceted, beautiful, awesome way. But two characteristics or attributes of God that are going to be made known in this hour are His judgment and His mercy. For those who, in their sin, choose to not listen to God's voice, and as a consequence cannot comprehend His revelation, you see, Jesus is saying, now is the hour for judgment. And now is the hour for judgment upon that authority figure who has so deceived the nations, Satan himself, the ruler of this world. You see, Jesus in this hour is bringing fulfillment to the promise that He made when He cursed the serpent. You remember, right? God created all things to experience blessing. He created this world to be filled with harmony. But Adam and Eve rebelled against Him as they were deceived by the serpent. And God curses Adam. God curses the serpent. Work will not be joyful anymore. Family will be screwed up. Things will not work out because you have chosen the way of another authority. And He has misled you. He has deceived you. And I will not bless this project. And in the midst of cursing the satanic serpent, He makes a promise. He says, one day there will come an offspring from this woman, and He will crush your head, even as you will bruise His heel. Jesus is saying, now is that hour. He is that one. And He is bringing judgment not only upon the serpent, but to all those who love the serpent's darkness and prefer his instruction rather than God's, who would like to be at the center of the world and push God off the stage into the abyss. And God is bringing judgment upon such an awful project. A project known for sex trafficking. A project known for greed. A project known for grinding the poor into the earth. A project known for its pride. A project known for domestic violence. A project known for hatred of parents. A project known for abuse of children. That project is being destroyed in Jesus' crucifixion. And it was fully and finally dealt with in Jesus' crucifixion. But it's not just judgment. Judgment is almost a consequence of a much greater thing, that when Jesus is lifted up, He draws all kinds of people to Himself, just as we see the Greeks coming to Him. You see, because God's project was not simply to crush the head of the serpent, but as He promised Abraham, what? I am bringing blessing into the world. I am going to bless you, Abraham. But not only that, I am going to bless all the families of the earth. I am going to bless all the nations through you, Abraham, through your offspring. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And how will that happen? Jesus' hour. God, center stage, manifesting His glory, not just in fair justice, but in unfair mercy and grace upon nations that don't deserve it. Jesus' crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension, His sitting at the Father's right hand, His being lifted up is so powerful that it takes those who would not move towards Him and draws them to Himself. That we might know the glory of God. That we might see the light that streams from this wonderful God, even in such an incomprehensible event as the crucifixion. The glory of God is made known. We are drawn to Him. We are reconciled to Him. We understand that we are yet side players in a wonderful drama in which the light is the center. And if we will believe and stop asking questions and saying we don't understand, if we will walk, then we will have every question that can be answered, answered as we believe in Him, as we walk with Him, and become children of the light. Will you believe? Will you throw your weight not upon your own greatness and your own wisdom and your own understanding and your own efforts? Will you instead throw your weight upon Him? Will you believe? Will you trust? This is how you will truly find your greatest fulfillment as a human being in living to promote His glory, the center of the story. Scottie Pippen is a tragedy. You guys know, anyone know Scottie Pippen? I mean, he's a good guy, a great basketball player, but he's not the greatest. And when he played basketball for the Chicago Bulls, it was clear who was the best. It was Michael Jordan. And by the way, he's better than LeBron James, too. But Scottie Pippen, decades later, is still writing books, engaging in interviews, and arguing that he was better and Michael Jordan was not the best. He can't stand to have Jordan still have center stage. He wants to keep taking the mic and be Simba when he's not Simba. You follow me? My friends, all of the suffering that you are experiencing can be traced back in part, or maybe in whole, to your desire to still be the center and to do things the way you want to do, not the way that God would have it. But God has sent the one who is the true Michael Jordan. He's not worth comparing. He's the true Simba, if you follow me. He's the real king. He is the true shining light of the world. And if you will submit to Him, if you will believe in Him, if you will walk with Him, and if you will live your life as a minor character in a wonderful drama where He is the center, you will find that you finally know who you truly are and what life is really about. This is the good life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. How wonderful it is. We're going to leave here today and go back into many things that are very mundane. It may seem that your glory is not shining. We are probably facing difficult things in our life, some of us very, very difficult things. Help us, nevertheless, grant us, nevertheless, to have ears to hear and eyes to see, to trust in your Son and to walk with Him, that we might even participate in the wonder of you making your glory not only known through Christ preeminently, but even through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.